This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Melissa Block. When Eric Arthur Blair was 19 years old and hadn't yet picked up his pen name of George Orwell, he went to the far reaches of the British Empire. He joined the Imperial Police Force in Burma. He'd spend 5 years there in the 1920s. As he put it, five boring years within the sound of the bugle. He left Burma abruptly and decided to become a writer. George Orwell's first novel, Burmese Days, is set in the north of the country. Now writer Emma Larkin has retraced Orwell's path through Burma as a way of exploring the present-day country, its people, and its brutal military junta, which has renamed the country Myanmar. Emma Larkin joins us from San Francisco. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
We should say at the outset here that Emma Larkin is actually not your real name. I've read on your book jacket that you're a journalist raised in Asia. You speak Burmese, but you've written this book under a pseudonym. Why did you do that?
Well, ideally, this is my first book, so I would have loved to have used my real name. But it wasn't, I felt, possible under the circumstances, because I spent a considerable amount of time, maybe the better part of 2 years in Burma. And because everywhere you go in Burma, you leave a paper trail. You know, you get on a bus and you have to sign a form, you get on a train, and the regime can track exactly where you are, where you've stayed, and who you've spoken to. So I felt, in fairness to the Burmese people who trusted me with their stories, I felt that I had to use a pen name in order to pretty much protect any effects that it might have on them.
When you talk to people in your travels through Burma, there's a joke that you discover about George Orwell. People say he didn't write just one book about Burma. He actually wrote three, an unintentional trilogy, you call it.
One of the first people I spoke to about Orwell called Orwell the Prophet, and that was very intriguing to me. And in Burma, they do have this joke whereby Burmese Days, which is Orwell's first novel, mirrors the colonial period. Animal Farm, which Orwell wrote about a socialist regime, mirrors the Burmese road to socialism, which took place from 1962 to about 88. And then 1984 is today, is modern-day Burma under an authoritarian regime.
What are some of those echoes that you found, specifically with, say, 1984, that you see all the time in the Burma that you know now?
Burma and 1984 are different in the sense that Burma is an agricultural, predominantly agricultural society, and 1984 is sort of hyper-industrialized society. So there are visually, obviously, great differences, but emotionally, there's so many similarities. I mean, the propaganda, the censorship, the absolute control, almost of people's thoughts and of the way they act, is very reminiscent of 1984. And I saw Winston Smith, the main character of 1984. I felt that I met 100 Winston Smiths in Burma.
You write at some length about a publisher whom you meet in Rangoon. You call him Koye. What did he tell you about censorship and the ways that Burmese people have figured out to get around it?
Yeah, censorship is all-encompassing in Burma. I mean, everything from newspapers to hymn books are censored. So everything that's written down goes through a government censorship board at some point or another. And editors in Burma who are working on magazines or newspapers have to find creative and clever ways to get around this. Goye, for instance, would write an article about, say, the Swedish healthcare system and how wonderful it is and how well it works and put this in his paper, and it wouldn't be censored because it has nothing to do with Burma, but hopefully his readers are intelligent enough to perhaps compare this to the total lack of healthcare in Burma and the lack of medicine, the lack of qualified doctors. And this is one way of sort of critiquing indirectly what's going on in Burma in front of the eyes of the government.
Hmm.
This is one of my favorite projects, actually, while I was in Burma, was learning to see the silence and see the absence and work out what it means.
In spite of all the censorship, you write about the Burmese intense love of books and of writing. And you describe this fabulous sort of underground library of people with books tucked away in their attics and locked up in trunks. You also write about something that you call an archive of unpublished books. These are stories that are existing in writers' heads, but that are too dangerous to publish. And I wonder if you could read from your book. You're talking about a writer who you met in Rangoon who spent a lot of years in prison, and he describes one of the stories that he's not been allowed to write about, but you write about it.
Okay, I'm talking to a fairly well-known writer, and he was in prison for 12 years, so over that time he stored loads of stories in his head and has this fantastic memory for telling stories. It's one of the great untapped resources in Burma, I think, all these people who are walking around with information stored away and hidden away inside themselves.
Well, let's hear one of the stories that he did tell you.
There was an old man in prison whose job it was to sweep an area of ground around the prison warden's house. It was an area no other prisoners were allowed to go to, and each day the old man spent all day sweeping it clean. The writer felt sorry for this old man and decided to save his daily rice ration to share with him. It was very poor quality, almost inedible, but he had nothing else to offer. When he gave the old man his leftover rice, the man thanked him and ate it up quickly as if it were the tastiest food he had ever eaten. "How can you eat such bad rice as if it is fine food?" the writer asked. The old man replied that each day, as he swept the ground clean, delicious cooking smells wafted from the kitchen where the warden's wife cooked for her family. When he ate the rice, he simply remembered the tantalizing scent of, say, a pork curry stewed with potatoes and kept it inside his head while he ate. "To my mind, this is such a simple, wonderful story," finished the writer, "and yet I'm not allowed to publish it."
Hmm. What were you thinking when he told you that?
Well, these are such a simple story. You wouldn't think necessarily it's saying anything bad about the regime. And even such a simple tale like this is disallowed. And that saddens me, I think.
It does seem that even though you never revealed what you were doing there, you wouldn't have been allowed in if you had said you were going to write a book about Burma. Mm-hmm. They must have been aware of what you were up to in some sense. And I wonder, weren't you endangering the people that you talked to in some way?
There's a small group of expatriates living in Rangoon. There's business people, there's academics, there's students learning Burmese language. And it is possible to slip in among them. And I've watched the way the regime treats the international media. And from what I can see, all that will happen really is that Emma Larkin will be banned. So whoever Emma Larkin, if there are any real Emma Larkins out there, probably won't be able to get a visa to go to Burma. But I doubt very much that they would go to the trouble at this time to track everybody down. They'd take the name Emma Larkin, they'd look in their files briefly, they wouldn't find anything, and I hope they wouldn't think twice about it.
Since there were risks, to some extent, for people to talk to you, why would they? Why would they open up in any way?
I think there's a great sense of isolation in Burma, and I think it's a cathartic process for some people to tell their stories, and it feels good. It feels like almost like a message in a bottle, you know, being sent out. And I would imagine in a place where you can't tell your stories openly, that it would be somehow empowering, a small revolution on a very minor scale with every conversation.
Emma Larkin, thanks very much.
Thank you.
Emma Larkin, that's a pseudonym. Her book is titled Finding George Orwell in Burma. You can read an excerpt at our website, npr.org. Thank you.